Welcome to December's Northern Soul podcast with me, Lucy McNamara. It's hard to believe we're nearly at the end of 2015 as the winter nights get colder and the mornings get crisper. Then rest assured, the last podcast of the year will keep you snugly warm. Coming up, we speak to Slow Readers Club, who've just released their new single from the new album Cavalcade. But first, this classic from Jefferson Airplane and White Rabbit.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small, and the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits,
Venart there with Operate. Venart is the music of Mike Venart, who's a Manchester-based singer and also a member of Biffy Clyro's band. Before that, he was the frontman of the band Ocean Size. Now, before that, you heard Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, which was written and performed by Grace Slick while she was still with the Great Society. Now, when that band broke up in 1966, Slick was invited to join Jefferson Airplane to replace their singer. Slick provided two songs from her previous group, her own White Rabbit, which you just heard then, and Somebody to Love, which you'll know, which was written by her brother-in-law, actually, Darby Slick. Now it's time to hear the first part of my interview with the wonderful Slow Readers Club, based in Manchester and working with Scruff of the Neck Records. They are Aaron, Curtis, James and David.
It's been a good year for us, really. We've had quite a bit of radio play on Six Music and XFM. We've had some exposure in Europe. We've got a publishing deal out there and stuff. Done some decent festival slots, Tramlines, Ramsbottom Festival, Isle of Wight Festival. We're not signed to a major, although this next single's coming out, Scruff of the Neck Records. We're independent, so we're doing it ourselves. We did a headline show at Academy 3 that was sold out.
And in terms of your festival play, you said Isle of Wight. I mean, that's a fairly major.
It was good. It was we were in the Jack Rocks, so it was Jack Daniels kind of sponsored tent thing, and it was really, really busy. And when we were playing, it was raining outside, which was good. So you know, made people who might not normally have come in.
You also played Ramsbottom Festival, closer to home, obviously. How did you get on there?
Busier than we thought it would be. Great reception, great sound. It was very fortunate because the guy doing the sound also produced our album, which was yeah, a welcome surprise when we got there.
Social media as well is massively important, and I mean it all feeds each other. Obviously, like when you're blogged about and when you're on the radio, that then gets pushed through our social media and everything. So,
and I presume that this has not been sort of overnight that you've got to this point, or is it? I mean, is it overnight?
No. No, it's our second album, isn't it? So
yeah. You just get wise to how things work, and then you see what works well for you, you know, as far as releasing songs and things like that, and then the next time you do it a little bit better, or the next time after that maybe we promote it differently, or we go down like we've done, where we've done vinyls in the past, or we've done CDs, or then we've done digital only. So you just try what you can try and then see what works best for you, and then like now, just loads of social media stuff, you know, putting things out there, Facebook, Twitter and so on. And obviously getting the right gigs as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, not to expose the mechanics of it too much, but yeah, we work with radio pluggers and, you know, tour managers and different promoters in different cities, and you build up a network yourself of decent promoters in other cities, and then we're building a following outside. We've got a decent following in Manchester, but building in Sheffield and Leeds and Liverpool and London. And it's that, I think that's, you know, if you were signed to a major, then that would all be sorted out for you. But a lot of our time is spent, it's probably about 20% writing, 30% gigging, and then 50% admin, to be honest.
You're listening to the Northern Soul podcast with me, Lucy McNamara. More from Slow Readers Club later. We've also got the new single from James and a classic from The Cure. But first, this from Of Monsters and Men with Crystals. Lost the sky, so powdered gold. Caught in clouds of silver ropes. Showered by the empty holes. As I tumble down, falling fast to the ground. Well, that was One from Moving Panoramas, an indie trio from Austin, Texas. Now, they are Leslie Sisson on vocals and guitar, Rosie Casto playing bass, and drummer Karen Skloss. A pretty cool all-female lineup there. Now, their backstory is quite disturbing, though, with Leslie Sisson in particular having to deal with being kidnapped at gunpoint, amongst other things. Yeah, that sounds pretty horrific. One is taken from the album of the same name. This is December's Northern Soul podcast, where we champion new music and bands, mainly from the North, and mix new tracks and classic oldies with a band Q&A. Now, if you want to get involved in 2016, then get in touch via Twitter at Lucy_McNamara or via the Northern Soul website. But now back to this indie four-piece from Manchester, who are coming to the end of a UK tour, the Slow Readers Club. I asked them to describe their sound and their influences.
Melancholy, indie electro, basically. Echo and the Bunny Men's Smithsy meets LCD Sound System. Well, we often get compared to the Editors and Joy Division and stuff. We all come from different places, to be honest with you, but for me it's Bowie, Jesus and Mary Chain, 80s gothy stuff.
Mine's more funky and but also old school guitar, so it's, you know, 60s music. But obviously I've come into the band for the second album.
And how has your sound changed, would you say, then, from the first album to the second album?
David being a new element is one thing, but it's also the producer as well, that's quite a big part of it. He's obviously looked at what we're doing and tried to pick out the strong elements of it rather than just, we were very much throwing the kitchen sink at something.
Yeah,
I think so. Lots of strings, yeah. Lots of big stuff, and he was like, okay, let's strip it back. Big way, it needs to be big, but our first single off the new album was Forever in Your Debt, and that's the first time we thought everything sounded really punchy and tight, and we're really happy with it, and we just thought that's a good blueprint.
Each part was distinguishable from the other, it had room to breathe, because I think on the first album there was tracks like Frozen and stuff that were big, massive, stringy. I think there was a sort of conscious effort from all of us as well to make something that sounded a little bit more current as well, in a way.
There was a time when all the world was golden, the bells would chime, and all the people walked for miles just to see, just to hear, just to know, unafraid.
Like, I grew up listening to Motown stuff, really, right? But it doesn't mean to say that I try and play like Motown based guitarists, because I can't, because they're, you know, really, really, really good, and I'm not. I don't know, I like just really good melodies and you know, the odd riff and things thrown in it.
Growing up, like, we had Elvis and the Beatles on the house, and Bee Gees, my mate was into Bee Gees, like, I'll listen, you know, I think mainly it's like having a good central melody, and we're not afraid of having a pop element to it either. I think we want to do something that's broad but, you know, interesting at the same time. It's not like we sit down and go, we're going to write something like this today. It'll start with a bass line sometimes, or it'll start with a keyboard riff or a guitar or a drum beat, and it's just we'll jam around it. Normally I'll ad lib a main vocal melody and we'll build around that, basically.
So you two are brothers, so you've known each other quite a while.
Yeah. I used to play in a band a few years ago. We advertised for a singer in The Loop, if you remember The Loop.
Yeah, do you? Yeah.
And it was like, are you the next Freddie Mercury?
Sure, how long it
so we put it in as a bit of a joke, and there's references to Freddie Mercury in there or something, and Aaron responded. And then, so that was it, just in itself, the fact that he responded was good. We were in a band
called Omerta for a while.
The band sort of broke up because we had a break in at our practice room and things like that, and then a couple of lads said, right, well, I've had enough, sort of thing. Kurt came in to start jamming with us, and then one thing led to another, very long story short, and then Kurt knows David from a previous band.
Thank you.
More from Slow Readers Club later in the podcast, where we find out where the name came from. Now, James have just released the single To My Surprise from their new album Girl at the End of the Road. James are touring next year. Now, to get a full flavour of where, visit their site, wearejames.com. Although I can tell you they are playing Manchester Arena on Friday, the 13th of May. So here is their new single, To My Surprise. Mona Lisa. Cure and Friday I'm in Love. Now, you may be wondering why I'm playing The Cure. Well, they're embarking on a massive European tour in 2016, which ends, and yeah, I know, it's a long way off, in Manchester and London, December 2016. So there, yeah. Early bird tickets, anyone? I don't know. Is it too soon? You are listening to the Northern Soul Podcast with me, Lucy McNamara. Now, let's hear the final part of my interview with Slow Readers Club. Yes, where did that name come from?
When I was going from junior school to secondary school, we had a tour around the school, as you do, so an orientation thing, and we were shown the English room, maths room, science labs, and then there was a room called special needs. I thought, what a weird thing, and a frightening thing as well for a kid going, making that transition to go. It gave me a kick up the backside, I think, actually, because I'd been sort of coasting fairly till that point in junior school, but then I thought the notion that I could be streamlined in that way and gone, right, you're labelled now and you're going to just be taught to do this kind of thing. Quite a curious notion, really. And that the Slow Readers Club is a version of that. It's like I think it's an underdoggy, screw you kind of statement, like the Smiths is. It's like a sort of every man, but we're the ordinary, but not ordinary, if you know what I mean.
Talk me through the album, the second album, and what's happening beyond this.
We just started writing again, because obviously that this year was very much about the second album, and then next year we're hoping to do more festivals, try and get abroad, because like I said before, we've had decent radio play in Italy as well, so try and exploit that a little bit. We want to go to New York as well. We have had some contact with people out there, but it's just got to figure in, because we're doing it ourselves, we'll just sort of piece it together and whatever, kind of less some. Something else comes along. But.
Would you be looking at support slots for some?
Yeah, that's the golden thing that eludes us at the moment. Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference when you have a major label behind you. They'll have friends on the label, that other bands, and they'll get stuck on to help bump up their career, and that's how it works, isn't it? But if you're doing it yourself, you've got to rely on the kindness of other bigger bands and hope that they've got some say of who will play with them. So it's not easy to get them. You know, we'd love to go and tour with Arcade Fire already, but there's something that'd be quite nice. But
We'll write a letter to him. Yeah. Mark at Scruff of the Neck has been involved in putting this tour together. I see that he'll probably do more of that next year, and he's sort of got great relationships with other acts and stuff. So, I mean, there's other acts that that I've liked, one with like October Drift and Puppet Rebellion in Manchester and stuff, that are sort of decent level sort of as we've been going. But I remember we did a tour back in the Elmerta days where we're on with some like thrash metal type of like heavy rock act in one of the cities, and it's like this is just
Wolverhampton.
Barmy.
Good. So that's some proper homegrown talent, the Slow Readers Club. Don't forget their new single, Plant the Seed, is now out on Scruff of the Neck Records, which is taken from their new album, Cavalcade. Now for some more local talent doing great things, Patawawa.
Trying to get you off my mind. You know that I call on you.
Girls Patawawa with Red and White. These guys are from the Peak District. They are Rory Lovett, Sam Wilmot and Beth Garrett. Red and White is the single out now. So we've come to the end of December's Northern Soul podcast and the end of 2015. Have a great Christmas and see you all in the new year.
The Northern Soul podcast.